Thanks, Charlie. And as we will talk about this morning, anything we do is the grace of God, and no one does anything alone. And we serve together with other people that prop us up. I got a great wife who's not here. She's on a plane to Kansas City. She's going to Kansas City for Thanksgiving. I'm going to Florida. There's nothing wrong. We're dividing and conquering. But certainly Pam has been a huge part of everything that Charlie talked about, and I'm better for it. As I'm better for having a chance to have worked with a lot of you in this room and in a lot of different ways. So it's good to be here with you this morning, 2 days before Thanksgiving. And yes, for a very important topic, I believe, something that we don't talk about enough and we certainly don't engage with enough. Our vision statement speaks of what we will see as our calling statement is fulfilled. And here's a line from our vision statement. It says, ordinary people. How many ordinary people are in this room? Okay. Ordinary people in many walks of life are joyfully leading integrated lives. They live as fruitful insiders among the lost. So I want to focus just for a minute on that one word, fruitful. What does it mean to be fruitful? What does a fruitful follower of Christ look like as they live among lost and broken people? That's what we're looking for in this movement that we all in this room are active in and have a chance to serve. Fruitfulness. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. A lot of times in our navigator circles or in ministry circles, we talk about fruitfulness as something we do to produce something. You know, other disciples, converts, things like that. And certainly, you can draw that. If you look at the scriptures, you can draw that. But I want to look at the primary thing that Jesus, I believe, is talking about. If you look at the context of John there, what he's talking about as far as fruitfulness. So are we looking for, in our movement, are we looking for people who have quiet times, who study and memorize the Bible, that go out and, knock on dorm room doors and things like that? No, not really. Was that navigator heresy? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, we are looking for people that engage in the scriptures, that do all those things, but the Pharisees did all those things. And so we're looking for kingdom citizens that have a certain aroma about them. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Galatians 5:22-23, Paul gets at it a bit and ties it into our topic today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So what does a fruitful life in Jesus look like? It's the aroma of Jesus evidenced in these kind of things. And so when we look at our core value, leading and empowering the Holy Spirit, it comes around this whole idea of what kind of fruit is being born in our lives. It's not just the process of engaging somehow. That's important. It's important for us to engage with God, to engage with the Spirit. But the Spirit's roles produce a certain kind of fruit in our lives. So this morning we're going to look at what I'm going to call three seldom remembered but greatly needed roles of the Spirit for a life that is led and empowered by the Spirit. Okay, that's kind of a long phrase there, but it's important. Three, seldom remembered. How often the Father and Jesus get a lot of press time. The Holy Spirit doesn't get near as much press time, and He is an equal member of the divine Trinity. Three seldom remembered, but greatly needed roles of the Spirit for a life that is led and empowered by the Spirit. So the first role of the Spirit that we're going to look at this morning. Turn to John 14. We're going to be camping out there in John this morning. John 14. I'm going to start reading at verse 8 just to give us a little bit of the context. John 14, 8. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." How can you say, "Show us the Father"? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. So Jesus starts off this whole passage on the Holy Spirit talking about the Father's role in His life and how He manifests the character of God in His life. Because He is in the Father and the Father is in Him. And then He goes on and He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." And the disciples had to be sitting there, and hopefully we're sitting here and saying, "Wow, that's amazing. Jesus, tell me more. How does this happen? Jesus, do you just work really hard? Do you get up at 3 in the morning and go to bed at midnight? Is that how you do it? Do you have a Franklin planner that helps you plan your day more? Do you have a certain vitamin, composite that you eat every day? Jesus, tell me, how do you do this, and how can this be possible that greater things would happen through our lives and our lives here? So Jesus, tell me more." And jumping down to verse 16 and following, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." So the first role of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to a fruitful life is this: He inhabits us. Every believer in Jesus has the Holy Spirit inhabiting him as a resource. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And the first role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that He inhabits us. Jesus goes on to say in the verses that follow, in verse 18, He says, "I will not leave you as orphans." So His inhabiting us guarantees that we're never alone. Verse 19, He says, "Before long the world won't see me anymore, but you will, because I live, you will also live." So His inhabiting us guarantees that we will experience abundant life. Verse 20, He goes on, He says, "On that day you'll realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Jesus inhabiting us by the Holy Spirit leads us to a life of love and obedience. So the first role of the Spirit is that Jesus, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit inhabits us, which tells us you're never alone. It tells us that we can experience life with a capital L. And it tells us that we can live a life of love and obedience, just as Jesus has called us to. The second role of the Spirit in bearing fruit in our lives, fruitfulness that God desires, that we see there in John 15:5, can be seen again. We look at John 14, verse 15 and 16. So we're hanging out there. We're going to chew on this for a few more minutes. Verse 15 and 16 in John 14, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." The second role of the Spirit is this role of being counselor. Now, that word is an important word, and it gets translated in a lot of ways. When you look at that Greek word, it doesn't mean counselor in a therapist kind of way. That's not what it's talking about. It probably, some translations even say, use the word comforter. That's probably not all that great either. Some of the older translations use the word advocate, which we have lost what that really means. So the newer ones use the term counselor. ESV uses helper. But what does that mean? And it really has more the meaning of a legal counselor, or what a legal counselor does. So we'll call it the second role. He is our legal counselor eternal. Now, interesting in this word, he's not a professional legal counselor. So he's not someone that you have to pay. It's pro bono. But he plays that same role. In a personal way, he plays the role of advocate, of legal counselor. It's the word parakletos, which has this meaning more of a legal advocate, someone that comes alongside you and me. So how does the Holy Spirit as the parakletos work to produce the fruit of the Spirit in us in this world? Here's three ways that we could see how the Holy Spirit engages with us and probably has already engaged with us today, I'm guessing, or sometime yesterday. So keep that in your mind. First one, if you were to flip over to John 16:8, we see that there are times where the Holy Spirit is the legal parakletos, this advocate, actually takes the other role. Rather than being defense counselor, he takes kind of the prosecutor role. John 16:8 there we see, "But when he comes, this Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." So there's this convicting that our legal counselor does. 1 John 2, 1 talks about this other, a co-counselor, interestingly. So when he convicts us of sin, we have the natural tendency to do something. We can either just be bogged down in our sin, we can feel the weight of guilt, or we're told in 1 John 2:1, "My dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin," and we come to realize that as the Holy Spirit convicts us, "if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father." The NIV says, "We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin." So not only do we have the Holy Spirit who plays the role of convicting us, we know that the Holy Spirit, and this is the third one, is that he actually gives testimony of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit gives testimony of Jesus. John 15:26 talks about the counselor who will come, who will give testimony about him, Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is this parakletos, this legal counselor, who convicts, who also points us in the direction of Jesus, who is his co-counselor, this advocate, who is our atonement for sins. So let's look at a third role in the Spirit. The first, we've got the first two. He inhabits us. And the second one, he is our legal counselor. The third role of the Spirit in bearing fruit in our calling is seen there in John 14:17. John 14:17. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because he neither sees him or knows him. The third role of the Spirit, so important, is the Spirit's role as teacher. The Spirit's role as teacher in our life. The first thing that we see here in verse, if you jump down to verse 26 in John 14, but the counselor, the same Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I have said. So one way that the Holy Spirit teaches us is he reminds us of the things that Jesus has said. Now, for the disciples, that was easy, because they were hanging out with Jesus every day. And then after Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit reminded them of the things that Jesus said. For us, it demands that we know the words of God. That we know what God is saying in the Scriptures. And then the Holy Spirit can remind us of the things that God has already said to us. To the extent we have this in here, is to the extent that he has something to remind us of. The Holy Spirit can only do so much. He can only remind us of what he has put in us. Now, there's a second thing that it says here that the Holy Spirit as teacher does too. Flip over to John 16. Just go, because you know that John 14 and 16, if you're to take Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit, you don't have to go much further than those two chapters. John 16, verses 12 to 13. Look what Jesus says. And this is amazing. I have much more to say to you. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So while the Holy Spirit as teacher reminds us of things God has already said, the Holy Spirit also has much more to say. God has much more to say, and he will say it through the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, we can get all... some of us can start, wanting to dance in the aisles that we just said that. Some of us can start sweating. It's like, oh, we're going to, I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Okay, Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going to be leaving. I've got much more to say. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you about it. And I believe that we have the same Holy Spirit, and the same Holy Spirit can be speaking to us. So he reminds us of what God has already said, and he continues to speak. And I believe in concert with what God has already said. The important role of the teacher in our lives, of the Spirit's role as teacher. So three roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which the Holy Spirit, the one who is sanctifying us, who is transforming us, who is causing us to bear fruit like the fruit of the Spirit. He works in our lives in these three ways. He inhabits us. He dwells in us right now. For some of us, he's telling you, you're not alone. I didn't leave you as an orphan. And then the second role, that he's a legal advocate. He convicts. He comes alongside and points us to Jesus, who is his co-counselor and advocate for us when we sin. And then this final one, that he teaches us. He speaks to us and reminds us of the words of Jesus. and the words of God that we have available to us. And he also has other things to say. So as we close here, I want to just lead us in some reflection before the Lord, and to trust that if what I just said is true, that the Holy Spirit can talk to us and can guide us and lead us, okay? So the first question I want us to reflect on just for a minute, and just taking us back where we started, Jesus talked about the fact that everything he did flowed from the fact that he had this tight relationship with his Father, right? And we can have that same assurance that as we live in connection to the Lord Jesus and to the Father and to the Spirit, then our lives will produce the same kind of fruit that Jesus did. And I think that's why he started off that way. He said, hey, I've got this going on. He was modeling. So I'd ask us the question, just for a minute to reflect, would those closest to us, and you might have to look back, you know, 15 minutes, you might have to look back 3 hours, you might have to look back 2 weeks, but to be able to look back, would those closest to us, what would they say? Would they, in what ways would they say that our lives reflect the fruit of the Spirit? And conversely, we might reflect on, in what ways would they say, not so much? Okay, so just for a minute, just before the Lord, we're just going to ponder that thought. In what ways would those that look on us, just like the disciples were looking on Jesus, in what ways would those around us say, yeah, I see the Spirit of God on your life in this way? And if they were so bold, what would they say on the flip side? So just rest in that for a minute. Okay, secondly, as you're praying and you're reflecting and you're talking to the Lord there may have been things that have been brought up that you go, you know, there is that thing. And I can see that I had a misstep over here in this interaction with this person. Are there things that the Holy Spirit is bringing up, things that you see in your life that need further transformation? So right now, go to our advocate, Jesus, who is the atonement for our sins, and just bring those things to him. And then thirdly, Jesus told the disciples, and I believe that he says to us today, you know, I've got much more to say. And so I'd ask the question, and we can just reflect on this a little bit, is in what ways could we be connecting with the Scriptures? I mean, in what ways are we hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating on God's Word? In what ways? What does that look like? What would you really, at this moment right now, as you hear these things and you hear about the power of the Scriptures and how the Holy Spirit uses it, what is it doing in your soul? It may be doing something. There may be some kind of motivation right now that Spirit's giving, that there may be a way to engage in different ways. And then what are ways that you're connecting with God in the quietness of your heart? What ways do you have a rhythm where you're stopping and pausing to be with him so that he can have the space and the time and your attention to say the more things that he wants to say? So consider those. Consider your engagement with the Scriptures so he has something to remind you of, and your engagement with the Lord Jesus just in the quietness of the rhythm of your lives. So just for a minute, consider that. Well, Lord God, we come before you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we stand amazed at you and your goodness and your grace in our lives. And when we consider these things and we think, even think back to those disciples who got to walk with you day by day, and the anticipation and the fear and the concern of you going away, and you said these things to them that gave them hope that you were going to send another counselor. And Lord, we thank you that you have sent that counselor, and that we can benefit from the work of your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you work in our lives, that you indwell us, that you convict us, that you point us in the direction of Jesus, that you do all these things, that you continue to teach us. And Lord, we thank you for teaching us this morning. And Lord, together we bring our sin to you. We are broken people and we're weak people, and there's not a one among us that hasn't stumbled in the last week. And so we bring to you, Lord Jesus, the one who is an atonement for our sins. We bring these things to you and we say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. We desire so much to reflect you. And as we go out now, Lord, here in a few minutes, we ask that you would continue to walk with us in the ways that we've heard about this morning, and that you'd continue to teach us how to move towards you and to engage with this incredible resource, you, Holy Spirit, to engage with you in our lives in the ways that we've talked about. For your glory, Lord, that our lives would bear fruit and a watching world would see something different. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Copyright by the Navigators, 2013. All rights reserved.